Welcome to the Mock Stars Podcast. My voice just cracked there. I am Menace, one of your hosts. And I'm here with Flash. What?
I got big news. I have no idea what you did differently, but I heard both those drums.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. Aren't they great? Like,
yeah, they're good.
Yeah, they sound great, especially you put them together. It with the theme song, with everything, it just punches, dude. Like, it's the hook. It's the hook for the show, and it works. Welcome to the show, everybody. This is the Mock Stars Podcast, the number one podcast on the internet for Magic the Gathering and Dr. Pepper. Today, on today's show, you know, honestly, we started this recording. We were like, man, I don't really know. There's not really like a lot of movement because Aether Drift is kind of meh. It's kind of awful. So today we picked a card, and someone from the community, Zach, has been working really, really hard on Ketramos. So we're gonna go through Zach's list here that he updated. By the way, this is we're recording at like 7 a.m. on a Tuesday morning, and 6 hours ago was the last time Zach worked on this list. He is putting in the work. He wants this thing to be good. So today we're gonna go through and we're gonna ask a bunch of questions. And he's a rather lively character in the comments. So I'm sure we'll get some answers out of this when we get to it. But when this is published. But if you'd like to support the show, you can find us on YouTube, where you can like, subscribe, and ring that bell for more notifications. As you can see on YouTube, we have 435 subscribers. You guys rock, by the way. Y'all are awesome. Thank you for the support. But the video we made on Aether Drift spoilers, which by the way, the lore on that episode was deep. I still haven't heard back from Mark Rosewater about the theme park. You know,
yeah, we're supposed to break ground on that in a couple of years.
Yeah, you know, cool 140 mil. We'll get there. I don't know, like, the contract, if it's drawn up. I don't know. But here, anyway, the lore on it, super duper deep. If you haven't, you know, if you want to dive in and really hear us at our best, check out that episode. You can also support us via all major podcasting platforms. You can find us there. Leave us a 5-star review on whichever platform of choice that you have, and make us look super duper cool. You can also support us on Patreon by becoming an official Pepperhead. For $3 a month, you become an official Pepperhead, and your name turns Dr. Pepper Red in the Discord server, and you support the show. It goes a long way. We appreciate it so much. You can also become a Cherry Vanilla Pepperhead for $5 a month, and that gets you access to the bi-weekly giveaways, which we will be doing at the end of this episode. And then you can become a 2-liter supporter, like definitely Jeremy and Pool Boy Barry. And what that does, it gets you 2 entries, and you get early access to our Card of the Week videos. Thank you guys for the support. This week's Card of the Week, it's Esper Sentinel! It's Esper Sentinel! One of the best one drops that we've ever seen in Commander. And, you know, still a persistent powerhouse in CDH every time it touches the table. And it's just one of those cards. Man, it's one of those cards, like, right alongside, like, Rhystic Study. You know, maybe not right alongside Rhystic Study, but
it's in the Rhystic Study category as one of, you know, off-color Rhystics.
Yeah, you know, how often do you see an ability like this? Or, you know, comes down early, it's likely to draw you multiple cards, sort of like a Mystic Remora in a way. So, White's Mystic Remora, that's our Card of the Week. We also have Reeve and Lift hanging out in the Mock Stars Dr. Pepper Lounge. Voice just cracked again. There, access to the lounge, $50 a month, gets you a hat every single month. And if you stick around for an entire year, you get a one of one bucket hat designed by yours truly. And we just expanded the seats from one to three. So if you would like to get access to the Mock Stars Dr. Pepper Lounge and become a super supporter, you can do so on our Patreon platform. All right. Diving in, there is major news in the world, Flash. Major news worth breaking ground on. Not the theme park. The loot mascot is going to have to wait. Dr. Pepper, BlackBerry has hit the market, and there's a lot going on with it.
We're going to have to readdress the tier list, the Dr. Pepper tier list.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was a good time to double back and maybe find a space for this in our rankings. So,
which by the way, we started talking about the Dr. Pepper tier list, like in accordance with Wizards coming up with the new EDH tier list. And we have heard nothing about that in months. Right? Weren't we like expecting to hear, like, everyone was expecting the announcement to be at like MagicCon Vegas about what the tiers would actually be? And truly, there has been, as far as I know, no additional information.
Nothing. This episode is just criticizing the hell out of Wizards of the Coast for all the balls they've dropped.
I mean, that's
not a criticism.
It's just like, it just popped into my head. It has been so long since we expected that information that I forgot it was information we were even waiting on until we started talking about the Dr. Pepper tier list.
Yeah. It's so funny you say that, because the only thing that has happened in regards to whatever tier, I forgot even the right wording for it, but is they just nominated a board of people, right, to be heralds for the format. That's it. Like, that's all they've done. It's a very similar board of people that were involved with the previous Commander Committee or whatever it was called. The Rules Committee being put together for this new Wizards of the Coast structure, just nothing has changed. We're just very much in the same boat as we were before. What happened? Jeez. Flash, do you remember the history of why the Rules Committee deteriorated in the first place?
There was something with the guy being a Nazi, and that was somehow, this is deep, this is, the lore on this is impenetrable. There was a guy who was a Nazi, and Dockside was banned.
Yeah, there
Those
you
two
go.
Things somehow related into a power grab by Wizards to take over the Commander format once and for all. It's some real like late season Game of Thrones stuff. Like,
yeah,
how impenetrable the twists and turns that got us there are. So,
yeah, yep.
If George R. R. Martin could stop plotting, what's going on with Magic: The Gathering and just really focus on the Winds of Winter, that would be great.
Yeah, we'd actually move forward as a society. Yeah, it was like the banning of Dockside and Mana Crypt caused so much criticism for the committee. Though those are cards that unquestionably are like should have been banned or never introduced in the first place. And people were like, but I spent $75 on Dockside. I spent $150 on Mana Crypt. I get it. You know, banning things basically deletes money from people's pockets or from their investments. But Magic is never something that once you spend the money on the card, is not something that you should be holding on to, like, I will redeem this for a car payment in the future. Like, never, never should it be that. But yeah, that, apparently that was the prevailing mindset that led to the criticism. But yeah, we haven't heard anything from it. And that's a very good point. Yeah, it's supposed to be MagicCon Vegas, and it's coming up MagicCon Chicago. We still haven't heard anything on this. And I think that people have forgotten because the format is so much healthier with the bannings. And I don't know if we will. I don't know if we will hear anything about it until maybe MagicCon Vegas this year. In which case, they'll probably double back and be like, you know what? It's not necessary. Things are fine the way it is. Yeah. But you know what is fine the way it is? Dr. Pepper. And I still haven't found this elusive blackberry flavor, but 2 days ago on Reddit, someone has written their Dr. Pepper blackberry review on the Dr. Pepper subreddit, where the background for the entire subreddit is Dr. Pepper Red. It's there is dedication here. I'm joining the Dr. Pepper subreddit right now. Oh yeah. Anyway, Dr. Pepper blackberry, if you got it out, if you have it out there where you're at, I know Tordeth, as soon as he landed in Ohio, he found it. So it's out there in Ohio somewhere. If you have it in your possession, and can you ship soda? Like, can you send?
Yeah, absolutely. You can send liquids in the mail. Like, they ask you at the post office if there's anything liquid, hazardous, flammable, or perishable when you send something.
Right.
And you can just lie to them if you want. Like, this is not legal advice, and don't do that. But also, you can ship liquids legally.
It's a pressurized canister. That's my worry, is like, you lie to them and they put it in an airplane and it explodes. You know? Or just be like, strictly this one, ground only. And they're like, why? Is there liquid in here? No. No. Anyway, we do not have it in Seattle. So if you do see it and you want to ship the Mock Stars some Blackberry Dr. Pepper, just reach out and I will give you my personal address where you can come down haunt me, stalk me, murder me after I've received the Dr. Pepper. Life will be complete after tasting this. But yeah, let's see. This guy, he grabbed his mug, got home, and he popped his mug in the freezer, put 3 ice cubes in it, and then a strong, wonderful smell drifted into his nose. Before it even touched his lips, he enjoyed it. He lifts the glass to take a sip. He can immediately taste the blackberry. It's tart, but smooth. It blends with the Dr. Pepper exceptionally. I'd say the flavor is about 60% blackberry, 40% Dr. Pepper. That being said, it's not overpowering, and it isn't too sweet. Putting down the glass, my blackberry lingers. The mouthfeel is immaculate. Each sip leaves me satisfied, but wanting more. When I take another drink, it meshes with the tart aftertaste. It's refreshing. It's tasty. It's a damn good addition to the Dr. Pepper family. And I hope it stays as a permanent flavor. That is his review. Sorry, I got sexy there.
Yeah, you really dropped some octaves.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just smoothed it out. This guy writes, that review made me hard. It made me hard too. All right. That's the newest addition to Dr. Pepper in our rankings. If what that guy said is true, man, that just might, you know, we talked about the toasted coconut being S tier, ban worthy level Dr. Pepper. I don't know. This man, if I can't imagine it surpassing the OG. So, as a temporary placeholder, I'm putting it number 4 in the product of Dr. Peppers. Number 4. Until I taste it, until someone sends it to me, that is my current ranking. What's number 3? You'll never know. Until I taste the Blackberry Dr. Pepper. All right. This week, Zach's Ketchermos list, where I hope he's listening intently to this to offer some critique and review and some reasoning. But as all good media does, they speak before thinking. So that's what we're going to do. This deck list is called Ketamine and Heartache, with Ketramos, the new dawn, as the commander. If you missed last week's episode, which a lot of you did, Ketramos from Aetherdrift is the one of two or three relevant cards for CEDH out of Aetherdrift. It is a 4/4 god that costs 1, a white, and a black, has menace, lifelink, and indestructible. I like it already. Ketchermos can't attack or block unless there are seven or more cards in exile. I feel like that's going to be pretty easy to achieve. Whenever one or more cards are put into exile from graveyards and or the battlefield during your turn, you draw one card and lose one life. Wah, wah, wee, wah. This is actually, it seems like a very abusable effect. While, you know, it is limited to your turn, that just means that your game actions are more impactful on your turn, I think. I don't think it harms, like, it doesn't draw from my desire to play the card, because I do think that, you know, you're responsible for, I don't know. You gotta play a lot of interaction regardless. Anyway, here we go. Creatures. Children of Corliss, right off the bat. I think this is wise. This is a wise card to have. I think the big thing that we were talking about in the Discord is how easy and how quickly you can kill yourself with Ketramos. So you have to be a little bit responsible. You can have very explosive turns where you can draw, you know, later in the game, you can probably draw 10 plus cards in a given turn with some of the cards that are included in the list. So Children of Corliss, after having a massive turn drawing a ton of cards, is a great one drop to recoup a ton of lost life. And when we get down to enchantments, I just gotta check if it's still there. It is still there. Okay. Wasn't sure if you cut it. Esper Sentinel, our card of the week, is here. Obviously, card draw in white. You need it. Putrid Imp. Now, this is my first, like, I wonder what he's doing with this. Because Putrid Imp is usually a Gitrog monster card. It's 1 black mana, and it allows you to discard a card at will. So maybe it's just a way to throw things into exile, right? Like, you discard something, and then it becomes something that you can exile to draw another card. Maybe. I don't know. Question mark? Yeah, Zach, answer that. I think it's creative. I think it's a very creative way to get rid of useless cards and potentially turn them into new ones. Weathered Wayfarer, I really like. I think this is just good in limited, like, in 2-color white decks. Weathered Wayfarer usually finds, like, a land or that is, you know, utility or worthwhile in grabbing. There is no Talon Gates of Madara flash. You might.
Whoa. Yeah. Whoa. No Talon Gates of Madara.
Any? Would you like to offer some criticism?
In 2 colors, I feel like you're going to have room for that in your mana base, right?
Yeah. I mean, there is, I don't know, like, there is the, like, upside of Talon Gates saying, you know, you can filter colorless mana into a color. So I think that, I don't know. I think just Talon Gates is just, after seeing it this last tournament, really good. Really, really good. So, nope, not here. No Talon Gates here. So Weathered Wayfarer just goes out and it just grabs a regular land. It just grabs land that produces mana. And that's it. And there's an Emergence Zone as well. So there's that. All right, back up to the creatures. Archivist of Ogma, Draenith Magistrate, Elasil Kor, Sadistic Pilgrim. This is also part of the lines here, since the deck is on Abdel Adrian and Leonin Reliquarder. So tons of like death and, you know, ETBs and death triggers galore. So yeah, Elasil Kor actually just becomes like an outlet for the combo. I think that's pretty great. Grand Abolisher, of course. The Relic Warder, if you're not familiar, animate dead effects, anything like that, and this flickers and dies and, you know, like infinitely. So also Leonin Relic Warder is just a good value piece in general. If you guys have not read it or have just been like, oh yeah, it goes infinite with that other card. It says when it enters the battlefield, you may exile target artifact or enchantment, and then when it leaves the battlefield, return the card to the battlefield under its owner's control. I think that is like, it's any artifact, any enchantment. Like, I think it's more relevant than ever to be able to like 2 white mana remove a Rhystic Study. This card does that. Like 2 white mana remove a One Ring. This card does that. Like, I don't think the value or how good it is has actually truly been put into an audio media such as the Mock Stars podcast, the number one podcast on the internet for Magic the Gathering and Dr. Pepper. And now it's out there for people to listen to, for to hear the point that I just made and go, whoa, that is such a good point. Lion Sash. This is a Mock Stars fan favorite. We love this card. Lion Sash, 1 and a white. Equipment Cat, 1/1. You can pay a white mana, exile target card from a graveyard. If it was a permanent card, put a 1/1 counter on Lion Sash. I told Zach I want this card in the list. People are like,
Lion Sash, you love these modular equipment creatures from Kamigawa.
For whatever reason, I do. I love them.
Did you convince Zach to get a Cloud Steel Kieran in there?
No.
That happened.
No, because, I mean, yes, you can't lose the game and your opponents can't win the game. The 5 mana equip or reconfigure was really the backbreaker there. Yeah. But this one, equip creature gets +1/+1 for each +1/+1 counter on the Lion Sash, and it's reconfigures only 2. So not only does it turn cards from the graveyard into cards you can draw with Ketramos, which is why I'm like, 1 white mana to draw a card, lose a life? Perfect. That seems great. And then you can also equip it to Ketramos and actually like go on the beats strategy. And gain life back. So every card you exile, Lion Sash gets a little bit bigger, and then Ketramos gets like has lifelink, gets a little bit bigger if you decide to reconfigure, and then can still exile cards at instant speed after blocks are declared, you know, or whatever, or no blocks are declared because it has menace.
I heard that drop.
What did you do differently on your end? Nothing?
Nothing, man. Literally nothing. I actually haven't even touched my laptop since we recorded last week.
Whoa.
If we're being honest.
Okay. That's a long time for some, you know, a little bit of dust to collect. Maybe the dust got into the circuitry. Because I did nothing different. I woke up, ran over to the computer, turned it on. Boom. It worked. Lotho's here, Orcish Bowmasters. Felia, the Corgi Extraordinaire. Whenever it attacks, exile up to 1 target non-land permanent. At the beginning of the next end step, return that card to the battlefield under its owner's control. If it entered the battlefield under your control, put a +1/+1 counter on Felia. It's a 2-mana dog with flash. 2/2. This is a really great card in this deck, and I'm so glad it's here. I think the value on it is, it's great. Plus, you get to exile any non-land permanent, and you still get the card draw off of Ketrimos. You can remove a blocker. You can remove something, relevant to the game that might be holding you down, like a Dranith or whatever. You know, you can attack. Remove a stacks piece or whatever, and then continue on with your game plan in your second main phase. I think that's what makes Felia super duper great in EDH. And the more and more that cards come to the forefront from Modern Horizons 3, I don't know, it's a rare from Modern Horizons 3. It performs like one, and that's all I got to say. Make no point at all. Modern Horizons 3 is a really strong set. That's it. That's all. Opposition Agent, Ranger Captain of Eos, Felidar Guardian, because you do get the card draw off of the ETB. I think that's really, it's really great. Really, really great, because you also have Preston, the Vanisher. Whenever another non-token creature enters the battlefield under your control, if it wasn't cast, create a token that's a copy of that creature, except it's a 0/1 white illusion. So if you have a way to make Felidar Guardian enter the battlefield while Preston is on the board, you can actually create infinite Felidar Guardians that are 0/1 white illusions. And it's a little bit of a combo, right there. Shieldred's there to catch you when you fall. You do not want to kill yourself with this card draw mechanic of drawing a card and losing one life. Shieldred will actually gain you 2 life on each card drawn. Pretty cool. Abdel Adrian for that likely infinite mana and infinite creatures, everything. The one bad thing about Ketrimos, it's not an infinite mana outlet, so you have to have the right cards in hand. Hopefully you do with the ability. And Gandalf the White here is 3/2 white. By the way, if you guys are not privy to Gandalf the White, you need to be. Because it's a 5-mana 4/5 wizard, avatar wizard, that has flash. You may cast legendary spells and artifacts as though they had flash. If a legendary permanent or an artifact entering the battlefield or leaving the battlefield causes a triggered ability of a permanent you control to trigger, it triggers an additional time. That is incredibly relevant text. And it's an amazing card that if you want to cast your commander with flash, then you can do it. Did you hear that one?
Drop two. Yep.
Hey, we're testing it out. It works. All right, sorceries. We're moving down the creature package here. I really like it. Whatever work you did 6 hours ago, Zach, great job. Great job. The creature bundle here, it looks refined. It looks like it has purpose. It looks like you're moving the game plan forward. It doesn't look like there's really any dead pieces there. So sorceries, Imperial Seal, Reanimate, Demonic Tutor, Diabolic Intent, Doomsday. I told you. I knew it. I called it. Doomsday's making a comeback.
Doomsday is back.
It's back. It's one of the more relevant ways to win the game in CDH now. As long as you have a way to exile a card, you can crack the pile. And there are plenty of ways to do it once we get down to the artifacts. Praetor's Grasp, Savine's Reclamation, Toxic Deluge, and Beseech the Mirror. So Beseech the Mirror notably can cast a Doomsday, just in case you forgot. Angel's Grace, we're in the instance. Angel's Grace, Calling the Weak, Dark Ritual, Enlightened Tutor, Entomb. 1 white mana for... I'm guessing that's Ephemerate. Yeah, Ephemerate's pretty good in this deck. Path to Exile becomes a card draw. It becomes a cantrip. It's crazy. It doesn't matter what you exile. As long as it existed on the battlefield, Ketrimos sees it, and if it gets exiled, boom, you draw a card. So things like, Path to Exile, Swords to Plowshares become cantrips. Vampiric Tutor, Cabal Ritual, Soul Partition. Again, something that you can exile. I've seen this being used a lot as a protection spell, which sounds crazy, but you cast, like, you target your own thing that you do not want to die, and then for two more, you cast it later. So there is that potential, but it will draw you a card, which is why it's in here. Card draw is good. Seeing more cards, good thing. Do thing. Draw a card. Tainted Pact. Deadly Relic. Now we get down to the rocks here, like we talked about with Abdel Adrian. I'm glad some viewer out there, I'm sorry, I don't remember your exact username, made me privy to the idea that, well, Abdel Adrian just says non-land permanent when you exile it. So as long as you have tons of mana rocks and you have the combo going, you can generate infinite mana. So there's a lot of mana rocks here. But the best thing. Ooh, okay. I see what Zach's doing now with the discard thing. Anyway, all these artifacts here, all these mana rocks are meant to generate infinite mana, but there's a new artifact here that I was not currently thinking about, but it is here. Currency Converter. Flash, this is from the new Capenna Commander decks. I never thought I would see this ever, but it says whenever you discard a card, you may exile that card from your graveyard. This will...
I think Currency Converter was slotted into like Legacy Smallpox decks. That's like the only time I've seen it.
Yeah, the effect is very relevant here. Like pay two, tap, draw a card, then discard a card. Sweet! That means you will pay two, tap, draw a card, discard a card. Whenever you discard a card, you may exile that card from your graveyard. Oh, let's go ahead and draw another card. So potentially pay two, draw two. And then you can tap, put a card exiled with Currency Converter into your graveyard. If it's a land card, create a treasure. If it's a non-land card, create a 2/2 black rogue. That seems good. The other thing is if you max out your hand size and you go to your end step, this will kill you with Ketramos on the battlefield. whenever you discard down to hand size, you know, I'm surprised there isn't a God, what's the name of that card? I can't even think about it. The unlimited hand size as a land. Oh my God. Oh, it's going to kill me. Oh my God. It's such a common card. It's such a commander staple. Well, if I saw the artwork, I would know. I would know its name immediately. But yeah, the Currency Converter will kill you if you go to your reach maximum hand size and you have to discard down. I think that's amazing. I think it's incredibly funny. But yeah, it's a great value engine here. Ghost Vacuum. This card is actually starting to make... I saw it making waves in Standard as a sideboard piece. But for one mana, you get to tap exile target card from a graveyard, and then you can pay six, tap it, sack it, and then put each creature onto the battlefield, except they get flying counters and they're 1/1 spirits. So it's great to eat up some graveyards and interact with the grave in meaningful ways, that it's just exile target card. You know, like Agatha's Soul Cauldron is also impactful in that same way. But this one can actually recycle the creature cards, bring them back. I don't know how... you never know what creatures you're going to see throughout the course of a game, whether they'll be relevant or not. But I think this is just more relevant as something that draws cards and also interacts, yeah, like I said, in a meaningful way. We have Jack-O-Lantern, one mana artifact. You can pay one, sack it, tap and sack it, exile up to one target card from a graveyard, then draw a card. You can pay one, exile it from your graveyard to add one of any color. Wow. Okay. You can filter mana through it and draw a card, lose life off of Ketramos. Just by activating that mana ability. I think that's a spicy little include there. Relic of Progenitus exiles cards from graveyards, and then you can pay one, exile it and all graveyards, and then draw a card. There's a new card from Aetherdrift. I know I said all cards from Aetherdrift are ass. Maybe not all of them, but there are only really a few relevant ones. Zach is testing this out. It's called Dune Drifter. I hadn't seen this yet, or I overlooked it, but it's an X white black vehicle, 3/3, that says when this vehicle enters, return target artifact or creature card with mana value X or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. So a reanimation spell that you normally would have to pay like 4 or 5 mana for, you can now, you know, like potentially reanimate your Esper Sentinel for 3 mana. You know, it's sort of like lowers the ceiling, but you know, some of your creatures, the most that he would ever have to pay is 5, as X is 5. But I think later in the game, it's totally worth it as long as that piece makes sense. We have Aetherflux Reservoir here. The life gain is going to be absolutely necessary. And with Aetherflux, obviously you have Bolas's Citadel. So the other few cards, the other artifacts that we didn't talk about in this list are just sort of like mana rocks and, you know, the One Ring. Why would we talk about that? The card sucks.
Mid card.
Yeah.
Best.
Mid. Not even worthy of being banned. That's how mid it is. All right. Enchantments. We already sort of like talked about this effect with Currency Converter. So whenever, you know, like my first thought with this deck was Necropotence, because you would, you know, you'd go past your maximum hand size and then you would just draw until you die. I thought that was a funny interaction. Well, it's still here. Necropotence is still very much here, and I love it. I love that, like, ride the lightning type, like, strategy where it's like you need an emergence zone if you don't want to die. The Animate Dead, Dance of the Dead are there for, obviously, the loops we talked about with the Relic Warder, and for Abdel Adrian. Meat Hook Massacre is there to capitalize off of that. I think you're going to see enough cards. I really think you're going to see enough cards to make it worth your while. Necromancy again, or with alongside those, Smothering Tithe and Touch of Spirit Realm. Channel is apparently a really good ability. Have we talked about that before?
Channel being good ability?
Yeah.
This is the first time on the podcast. I just checked the archives.
Hmm. It's a good card. Good ability. Does good stuff. Lands, like we said, are lackluster. Once you put Talon Gates in there, our opinions will change. Fan favorite, Talon Gates of Madara. Flash,
the
any...
people are clamoring for Talon Gates of Madara. They demand it.
Yeah. The Dr. Pepperhead community. We are clamoring for it. Flash, are there any cards in this list you're absolutely loving, hating? You're hating that there's no Talon Gates. I know that.
Yeah, I mean, that's really... I'm just preoccupied with the lack of Talon Gates.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this... Other than that, this list looks crisp. It looks clean. It looks like someone was up very late working on it. And the work has paid off. I don't know if it was like choosing the artworks that took so long. You know, like obviously they're using the Secret Lair Felidar Guardian, which I want a copy of. It's so pretty. But Aetherdrift is coming to a shelf near you soon, whether you want it to or not. There are plenty of more spoilers happening. Last week we talked about the first couple days of spoilers that came out. You know, and yesterday we saw, you know, a few more cards of relevance. Like, I don't know, Flash, if you saw there, the mono black mythic payoff for speed, but the speed demon is a 5/5 flying trample legendary demon that says it has start your engines. At the beginning of your end step, you draw X cards and lose X life, where X is your speed. I like that. That's the only one I like. Everything else, and this is, the set. Oh, brother. So many the things, you know, like we talked about it before the show a little bit, before we actually started recording, but man, just there, like you have cycling and crewing and exhaust. That's what this whole set is. Exhausting. But the start your engines mechanic, the, I don't know, there's, you can exert, you can exhaust, you can, there's so much. We got maybe a CDH relevant card in Transit Mage, Bobby Hill here with a guitar. Have you seen the artwork?
I mean, any of these search for artifact, CMC value, whatever mages, they're going to find a home.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
I agree. Yeah, I think this, like, I'm not sure what this search is for, is like a combo piece, but I was reading some Reddit threads and people were hoping for a cooler artwork. That's for sure. It's definitely an artwork of all time. But yeah, the more that I see come out, the less impressed I am with it. Like, I don't know. I am keeping my ear to the ground in case of like CDH playability for some of these cards, but there is no thought in my mind that I would want to buy this. The artworks are everywhere. They're not exciting. They're not engaging. I'm sorry if you have a different opinion. You can have your opinion. Like, enjoy the set. Get out there. If it looks fun, this is this hopefully will be a lesson for Wizards of the Coast in doing more is not always more. Sometimes doing less is more. And you don't need to include undercosted legendary creatures with no abilities at uncommon to waste our time. Have you seen, like, this morning they released, I think there's one in every color, is a cycle. But they're legendary creatures that are undercosted for their power. Like, there's a 7/2 crocodile for 3 mana.
Won't the red one probably get played because it's at 2 CMC and it's like a 4/2 or something?
It's maybe in
red deck wins and standard will probably have home or something.
Yeah, maybe. It's a 4/1. Yeah, I don't know if it just gets sniped too easily or if it's just, you know, gets taken out by a token.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, like the green one, Well, the green one doesn't even have trample. Yeah, it has no abilities. Yeah. 9/7.
They're all vanilla, right?
Yeah. Yep. Anyway. Oh, here we go. Here's potentially a card. A 2-mana artifact called Pit Automaton. Oh, it's an artifact creature. Never mind. But it's a 0/4 defender that says you can tap, add 2 colorless mana. Spend this mana only to activate abilities. And then you can pay 2, tap it. When you activate an exhaust ability, copy it. And you may choose new targets for the copy. The reason I was thinking it was relevant was because it was not a creature, and it was a 2-mana tap for two, and even if that mana is restricted, it would find a place in the right deck.
Yeah.
You know.
But unfortunately, it's not a rock.
It's not a
thought.
Yeah, it's a rock with legs. All right. Any final thoughts here, Flash, on, you know, Ketramos or Aether Drift or anything like
no,
that?
No, I think Ketramos is interesting. I want to see how this deck develops. I think maybe out of what we've seen from Aether Drift, it might be one of the... It's probably the best commander we've seen so far.
Yeah, feels like it, for sure. And
yeah,
I
want to see what happens with this deck. I think there's possibilities here.
Yeah. Those are the things I'm excited for. I'm excited for loot. I'm excited for Ketramos. And then, you know, like, anything else that happens, anything else that releases. I thought about buying one of the pre-cons because I really like Amonkhet quite a bit, you know? And I feel like this is a waste of Amonkhet. Like, they reintroduced a lot of the mechanics, but it's just a waste of time. Anyway,
yeah, who knows? I mean, there's more spoilers to come, right?
Sure. I will hold my breath. If you catch wind of a guy dead in his apartment because he held his breath for Hepatra 2.0, it's me. That's my dead body. Anyway, this is the Mock Stars podcast, the number one podcast on the internet for Magic the Gathering and Dr. Pepper. If you have Dr. Pepper Blackberry in your area and you want to not necessarily break the law, but lie to a government worker and send some to me, I'll reach out on the Discord. Join the Discord, where if you become a patron and you want to support the show, you can have your name turned Dr. Pepper Red. And yeah, you can also find us on YouTube, where you can like, subscribe, ring that bell for more notifications. The YouTube platform is, you know, usually where we look at our subscribers there. You know, like 435, by the way, if you're counting. And you can also support us on all major podcasting platforms by leaving us a 5-star review and making us look super duper cool, and leaving a comment wherever you can, because that helps the algae rhythm, feeds our
algae rhythm. Have we mentioned Don Cheadle yet today?
No, we haven't. Yeah, he's been sitting on the couch looking at me just like, dude, why am I here? You don't even talk about me anymore.
Chilling with Cheadle.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
We've mentioned Don Cheadle now, so we've done our job.
Yeah, this is the job of running the Mock Stars podcast. Dr. Pepper, Don Cheadle, LeBron's fake family. Nye guy gonna do.
The Iron Giant.
The Iron Giant, all the tiny little bones in our face. How many tiny bones are in our faces? Do teeth count?
I believe upwards of 500.
Oh, wow. It's like watching like Michael Bay's Transformers. You know, like how many moving machine parts there needed to be in order to like emulate facial muscles and structures.
Bumblebee, friend.
He only speaks in radio.
Did that sound like a drop from the soundboard? Because I just did that myself.
I did put you on the soundboard. Do you want to hear what you sound? Yeah.
Sure. I have seen the film Tar at least 15 times. How come we're not using that drop all the time?
I don't know, man. There was one episode where you were out and I was like, well, I need Flash here. And so I created that drop. And anytime it felt like you needed to interject.
I feel like I've definitely mentioned Tar since then.
I still haven't even watched the movie. I haven't not seen this movie.
Oh, you haven't seen the documentary about Lydia Tar, famous composer?
No, I haven't, no.
Oh, you should check it out.
Okay. You have seen it at least 15 times.
At whatever time I recorded, that was how many instances of Tar I've watched.
Probably a couple more since then.
Probably.
Yeah. Well, if you'd like to support the show, you can also support us on Patreon by becoming an official Pepperhead for $3 a month. Become an official Pepperhead. Support the show. Thy name turns Dr. Pepper Red on the Discord platform. You can also become a Cherry Vanilla Pepperhead, like maybe Anthony, Jacob Hibbert, Tommy Cypher, Demon82, KB, Mono Greg, K Mr. K, Will Rule, and UWP Quirt. Thank you all for your support. Again, that is $5 a month. That gets you access to the bi-weekly giveaways, which we'll be doing after the show. And then, you can also support us at the $10 tier, the 2-liter tier. Get 2 entries into those giveaways and early access to our Card of the Week videos, which this week, reminder, Esper Sentinel. Hear Menace's inner thoughts on Esper Sentinel in a flash-free zone. Unfiltered. I'm gonna
feel free to use that drop though when you talk about the card.
Oh yeah,
if it's relevant.
This one
I have seen the film Tar at least 15 times. Yeah, I mean it might come up in the card of the week.
It might. Well, regardless, you can get early access to that video. Check it out on the Patreon platform, and then I haven't really determined when these cards of the week videos will drop on YouTube, but when they do, you can check them out there. They will exist at a point in time, that's for sure.
That is the Mock Stars guarantee, that the videos will exist at some point in time.
Yes. Thank you all for your support. Thank you all for listening. Thanks for, if you're here at that very end of the episode, thank you so much. It does so much for the LG rhythm, for Don Cheadle, feeds him buys his meals. It buys his Dr. Pepper and allows me to go get him new clothes at Ross. Make sure that you're always supporting the show in every way you can. We appreciate it. By the way, if you don't like, you know, if you have never been to a Ross before, you should go check it out. It's a pretty cool wonderland.
You can dress for less, apparently.
You can dress for less. It is a mecca of American capitalism. It just goes to show you how many things that do not end up selling on shelves end up in another shelf.
And can I just say, if you're ever in Las Vegas on the Strip, go to the Ross.
Oh,
it is a wild scene.
My brother and I, Willie, we went there and we were walking through. Holy crap. So many things in there. It is. Yeah, it's insane. There's so many people, too. I was like, you're on the Vegas Strip. Why are you shopping at Ross?
Yeah, there were people like when I was there, there were people buying whole wardrobes.
Yeah, I was in there looking for because it was Halloween. I was in there looking for like something, you know, I can't remember exactly what it was, but I was looking for a Halloween costume. They don't sell those. At least the ones I couldn't find one.
I mean,
in there.
Arguably, Halloween costumes are composed of different items of clothing that you could have assembled at Ross.
Well, I ended up going to one of those like gimmick tourism stores, and I bought in the Hangover they have the baby, and it's like the baby vest. So mm-hmm. it's a picture of that baby on a t-shirt, and so what I did was I created a crop top out of it where I cut out around the belt, and then I made sure that I didn't cut the feet off, and so it just looked like I had a a baby with the dangly feet on my shirt, and I was Zach Galifianakis, sexy Zach Galifianakis for Halloween. I did it. Yep, I even had a fanny pack. I didn't have a satchel, but I had a fanny pack, so that's the sexier version of a satchel.
Yeah, keep that in mind, listeners, for next Halloween. You can always go as slutty Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah. I actually got quite a bit of
one
attention.
One of the classic Halloween costumes. Slutty nurse, bloody cat, bloody Zach Galifianakis.
And on that note, we're out of here.
Bye.
Peace. All right, everybody, you are here at the end of the show, and you know what that means. It is time for our bi-weekly giveaway, and this week we're giving away a Poliwog Prodigy, the borderless one to be exact, a borderless Poliwog Prodigy alongside a set of Mockstars tokens and a Mockstars can cap. So let's go ahead and shuffle it up 1, 2, 3 times and spin that wheel. Finally, the time has come, UWP Quirt. Congratulations on your giveaway victory. I'm so glad. Finally, we get one in your hands. Thank you so much to everybody for supporting the show, participating in each of our bi-weekly giveaways. We truly do appreciate it, and this one's been a long time coming for UWP Court, so congratulations. I'll be reaching out shortly to get this Poliwog Prodigy in your hands with a set of tokens and the can cap. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the show, sticking it all the way through. You really are putting food on the table for the Algae Rhythm. Stay tuned for more Mockstars Podcast. Peace. Bye.